The title of today's message is The Joy of Not Complaining. Now that might seem like a strange title. After all, how does one find joy by not doing something? I went to seminary in Nyack, New York, and that city was just north of New York City right on the Hudson River. People who do not live in New York City usually perceive the city folk as somewhat cold and unfriendly. They ignore strangers and live in their own little world. One of my professors at the school, specializing in counseling and urban ministries, and he insisted that New Yorkers were easy to talk to. You just had to know how to start the conversation. You start by complaining. Complain about the weather or a local sports team, and the people would open up and begin an easy conversation with you. And you know what? He was right. On a few different occasions, I tried that, and the people I talked to opened right up, and the conversation took off. There is something about complaining or grumbling that is just a part of human nature. In some ways, it might appear that we actually find joy in grumbling. We feel better when we complain about someone or something. Philip Keller, the author of A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, wrote this about our human proclivity to grumble or complain. Human beings, being what they are, somehow feel entitled to question the reasons for everything that happens to them. In many instances, life itself becomes a continual criticism and dissection of one's circumstances and acquaintances. We look for someone or something on which to pin the blame for our misfortunes. We are often quick to forget our blessings, slow to forget our misfortunes. Complaining just seems like to be our natural right and part of what it means to be human. Listen to the words of the text from Philippians 2, verses 12 to 18. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. In order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. We have just finished 2 weeks of talking about the well-known text in the first 11 verses of chapter 2. There Paul encourages the Philippians and us today to adopt the attitude and mindset of Jesus. And what was the mindset? He humbled himself and committed himself to loving and serving God and people first and foremost. And we define humility as not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. In other words, he considered God's will and plan and the care of people more important than his own feelings and rights. But think about Jesus. If anybody had a right to complain, it was Jesus. He gave up all his privileges as the Son of God, entered this world as a baby born to a poor family. He only did good for people. He taught some of the greatest moral truths ever spoken by anyone, and only helped, healed, and cared for people. Yet he was misunderstood, abandoned by his own closest friends, and he was despised and abused by the religious leaders. He was physically tortured and put to death in one of the cruelest ways possible. Of all people, Jesus surely had every right to grumble or complain about what happened to him. Yet he never did. And Hebrews 12:2 tells us about Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had every right to complain, but chose not to. Instead, he found joy in focusing on serving his Father in heaven and serving people with whom God had created and desired a personal relationship with. And Paul looks at his own life the same way in our text before us. Paul talks about his life being poured out like a drink offering in service to God and to his fellow believers with whom he shared the gospel. If you go and read the second half of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul describes all the abuses and hardships he suffered as a follower and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But instead he says to the Philippians that he is glad and rejoices in the opportunity to serve God and to serve the Philippians. He had every right to complain, but instead, he rejoices. Paul is saying that as Christians, we should have the same attitude that Jesus and he had in response to living as a follower of Jesus in this world. So it is our responsibility as followers of Jesus to diligently work at becoming more and more like Jesus in our attitudes and actions. Paul challenges the Philippians to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Paul is not saying that we work at continuing to earn God's favor. We enter a relationship to God not because we earn the right to by our words or deeds. No, we come to faith simply by believing in what God has done for us through Jesus. Salvation does not come about because anything we do, but is based entirely on the grace and work of God. But as followers of Jesus, we are to seek to grow into the mindset of Jesus in how we think and act. So once we commit to following Jesus, we need to diligently strive to follow the example of Jesus. We seek to cooperate with the power and the work of the Holy Spirit within us to become more and more like Jesus. And one of the major ways we do that, Paul is saying, is to not grumble or complain. So the question we need to answer today is, what's the big deal about grumbling and complaining? What's so bad about them that Paul makes that such a priority in following Jesus? Jerry Bridges, a well-known Christian author who wrote the book, The Pursuit of Holiness, says this about complaining. Respectable sins are the sins we tolerate or embrace as followers of Jesus Christ. Sins like gossip, slander, sarcasm, anger, judgmentalism, worldliness, unthankfulness, and complaining would be in this category of respectable sins. If you think about what we hear every day on the news and social media and in our conversations with the people around us, we constantly hear sarcasm, cynicism, and complaining. We are so used to hearing it that we don't even give it a second thought. It's as American as mom's apple pie, and we get caught up in it just like everyone else in our society. The reality is that complaining and grumbling is not a big deal in our world. In fact, we may even consider complaining to have some real virtue. Don't we usually feel good when we complain? It can be kind of fun. Complaining can also forge bonds with another person because we find out that we have something in common with them. It's like the example I used earlier of starting a conversation with people living in New York. It's easy to strike up a conversation because we're forging a bond, touching upon a common feeling with a complete stranger as we complain. To complain about something just seems like a normal and expected part of being human. But we can even rationalize complaining in another way. We can see it as an act of protest or resistance. And if we're not complaining, then we're just giving in and endorsing the status quo, whatever that may be. And there is tremendous power in complaining or grumbling. It may start with just two or three people, but it can spread like a wild forest fire and quickly get out of control, embracing whole crowds and groups and communities of people. James talks about the power of tongue in chapter 3. If anyone can control his or her tongue, they can control the whole being. But yet, what we say and what we can complain can set on fire a whole forest. In another place, Jerry Bridges talks about the issue of complaining. And he says this, complaining about the weather seems to be a favorite American pastime. Sadly, we Christians often get caught up in this ungodly habit in our society. But when we complain about the weather, we are actually complaining against God who sent us our weather. We are, in fact, sinning against God. And that is what Paul is saying in his letter to the church of Philippi. Complaining is a natural part of the world that doesn't follow God or Jesus. And when we complain, we are guilty before God of sinning and disrespecting him. We are no longer blameless. We are no longer morally pure. Complaining is a sin. But our tendency is to completely miss that because it is so common in our culture and it just seems to be a part of human nature. But it is not what God desires, and it is not how Jesus acted during his ministry on earth. All throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites were constantly in trouble with God because of their grumbling and complaining. This is clearly seen during their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They complained about the Egyptian army pursuing them. They complained about the lack of food and water. When they had manna, they complained about the lack of meat. When they camped at Mount Sinai and Moses went up to the mountain to meet God, they complained about Moses' absence. When they had the first opportunity to enter the promised land, they complained about how big and strong the occupants of the land were. They were constantly grumbling against Moses and God. So go and read some of the scriptures like Exodus 15, verses 24 to 15, or Exodus 16, verses 2 to 3, or Numbers 11, 4 to 10, or Numbers 14, 26 to 30. God's response to Israel's grumbling is best seen in Numbers 14, 27. How long must I put up with this wicked community and its complaints about me? Yes, I have heard the complaints that the Israelites are making against me. You know, when we grumble or complain, basically we're saying that we are dissatisfied with what God is doing or providing for us as a people. The author of the New Testament book says this about those who complain. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves. They flatter others to get what they want. That comes from Jude, chapter 1, verse 16. What Paul is saying in Philippians and what the rest of scriptures are telling us is that when we grumble or complain, no matter how innocuous it may seem, we have an inner attitude problem. We are not satisfied with what God is doing. He's not meeting our expectations and what we expect that he should be doing. Sarcasm and cynicism fall into that category of grumbling and complaining. Webster's dictionary defines complaining this way: the expression of dissatisfaction or annoyance about something or someone. The situation may be that we are annoyed with a particular person or a certain situation, but the reality is that we are ultimately annoyed with God. We are putting ourselves in the place of God. We are saying, well, if I was God, this is what I would be doing right now. And that is completely offensive to God. In his eyes, it is wrong, indefensible, and represents a complete misunderstanding and mistrust of who God really is. Paul is saying it's sin. And you may even be thinking to yourself right now, oh, come on, Pastor, what's the big deal? It's just being human. It's what we all do, isn't it? It's easy to think that way. I know. Pastors can grumble as easy as anyone else. We can grumble about people in our congregation. We can grumble about what the church is willing or not willing to do. We can grumble about our pay and think we're not being paid enough. We can grumble about how hard we work and never get a word of thanks. We can find a thousand reasons to grumble, just like anyone else. It's easy to justify grumbling. It's easy to find great delight in complaining. It often makes us feel better in the moment. It makes us feel self-justified that we have a right and duty to complain. But the admonition against complaining runs all through Scripture. Paul says here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation." And in verse 15, Paul is quoting the Old Testament text in Deuteronomy 32:5, where God is warning the Israelites that when they grumble, they are disrespecting God. In other words, we are wrong when we complain. The psalmist equates the grumbling of the Israelites in the wilderness with disobeying God and not wanting to enter the promised land. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord, Psalm 106:25 says. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 9 to 10, equates grumbling of the Israelites with being offensive to Jesus. When we grumble, we are trying Jesus' patience. Listen. "Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble, as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death." Jesus, on several occasions, warned his disciples about grumbling. But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble?" Out of John chapter 6, verse 61. Paul goes on to talk about what we will look like in the world if we don't grumble. He says that we will shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. He's using the powerful image that Jesus uses when he says that he is the light of the world. The world lives in such deep darkness that it doesn't even recognize how wrong and perverse grumbling really is. And if we choose not to grumble, we will shine like the stars on a cloudless night. You know, in a city, we really don't see how bright the stars shine because of all the ambient light. If you go into the rural areas of New Hampshire or Maine, where there are no city lights, the stars shine incredibly bright on any cloudless night. Paul is saying that God's people will shine like those stars to the world if we refuse to grumble. Why? Because grumbling is the opposite of rejoicing. When we rejoice, we are grateful for all that we have in life and for all that God has done for us. When we rejoice rather than grumble, we are pointing people to the beauty in the world that God has created. We are pointing people to the beauty that God wants to create in each one of us. Now, we all know that rejoicing in the face of difficulty is not easy. It's much easier to grumble. Complaining is really a part of our human DNA, our natural self is sin nature, second nature to us, as we have said many times. We need God's help not to grumble. We need the power of God's Spirit in our lives to help us live a life of rejoicing rather than a life of complaining. Paul says to the Philippians that it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. We can't do it by ourselves. We need God's help and are totally dependent on the power of God to change our lives. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit to come because the Spirit would bring the power of God to change our lives and to impact other people's lives. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, according to Paul in Galatians 5. In John 7, Jesus talks about the Spirit bringing forth of living rivers of living water out of our innermost being. Paul was imprisoned in Rome when he wrote to the Christians in Philippi. He didn't know if he was going to face death or ever be set free. Yet he found reason to rejoice rather than to complain about what had happened to him in life. When he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, he encountered all the blessings of God and he found great joy. And those blessings far outweighed the problems he encountered in following Jesus. So instead of complaining, he found reasons to rejoice. When we complain, our minds and hearts are only focused on the problems and difficulties of life and are focused on ourselves, and we fail to understand and see all of God's blessings. When we rejoice, we are instead seeing all the good that had God done for us, and we see the beauty to be found in a relationship to God and in this world that he has created. That is not a natural human response, as I have said repeatedly. It is more natural and far easier to complain than to rejoice. Rejoicing takes practice and work. We must keep coming to God and seeing who he is to understand how much he loves and cares for us. The truth of Scripture is that knowing God far outweighs the difficulties we will encounter in this life. And Paul is telling the Philippians that the greatest difficulty of all, death, being poured out as a sacrificial offering, still brings joy because we know that we will spend an eternity in God's presence. So they don't have to complain about Paul's circumstances, but should instead rejoice. We have to work at rejoicing, and God promises to help us and empower us to move away from the complaining and grumbling, to instead rejoicing and seeing all the blessings that God brings into our lives through faith in Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, which God pours into our lives when we trust and commit to following Jesus. What do you do more? Complain or rejoice? I know for myself that it's much easier to complain, to see the glass half empty, than to rejoice and to see the full blessings of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for all that you have done for us through your Son, Jesus. Thank you for his life and ministry and how he willingly committed himself to serving you and to serving us. Thank you for all the blessings you give us through faith in Jesus and for the gift of your Spirit in our lives. Continue to open our eyes to see how much you love us and have given us. Continue to fill us with the power of your Spirit that we might be people of joy rather than people who complain and grumble. Help us to represent you in this world in a way that causes your gospel to stand out as shining stars in a dark and corrupted world, caught up in selfishness, sin, and the rejection of your love and grace. Thank you for the testimony of Paul as he writes to the church of Philippi, and fill us with the heart and mind of Jesus in all we do, that we might rejoice and be filled with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.